I am here because I want to teach the Word of God to you. So, if you will open your Bible to 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4. Beginning with verse 7. Sometimes you read statements that you don't even have to argue about. Everyone instinctively knows.
Well, that's true.
That's kind of like saying, when the sun is up, it's daylight. You know? Well, of course. I mean, that's mastering the obvious. And when Peter makes this statement at the beginning of chapter 4, verse 7, it's one of those, hey, everyone instinctively knows this. And what he says is, the end of all things is near. Well, boy, you don't have to be very smart to know that, do you? Ask any scientist what direction he thinks things are going. Ask any environmentalist what direction they think things are going. Look at your own cities. Are they getting better? You know. Can you think of a place where you can say, oh, it's getting better? And no. Well, then obviously, the end of all things is near. Now, we know that by simple observation. We also know that from scriptural understanding. But just because you know the end of all things is near, what are you going to do about it? Well, the next word is therefore. Now, if you don't know the scripture, the next word after therefore would be panic. Some people are a bit inconsistent in their understanding that the end of all things is near. There was a fellow who wrote a book, 88 Reasons Why Jesus Was Coming in 88. I don't know if any of you remember that. Then he wrote 89 reasons why he was coming in 89, and then 90 reasons why he was coming in 90. And I think after 91, he gave up. But I understand, I've heard that there were a number of people who bought into the way he was expressing it and went over to Israel 90 or 91 to be there on the Mount of Olives when it was all going to happen. But they bought round-trip tickets. I don't know if that means anything. But we know the end of all things are near, but our response is different from anyone else's response to that. For some people, the response is, then, boy, eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. Or, boy, live it up, because it's all about to come to an end. Get everything you can. Do everything you can. But we have a different response to this. Because we know the end of all things are near, it says, therefore be clear-minded and self-controlled so that you can pray. Now, when you understand what the times are, it clears up your praying a whole lot. Look at it this way. Suppose that someone has a gun to your head, you're down on your knees, and they have this gun to your head, and they say, okay, pray your last prayer, boy. You're about to die. What kind of prayer do you think you will pray? Oh, Lord. I'm so tired of my hangnails that I've been getting. Would you please help me with my split ends and my hair? Right. Some prayers just don't make sense when you're under the intensity of such a gun. Now, the fact is, folks, the fact is, we're under that kind of gun time-wise. It's like time has the gun to our head and says, look, this may be your last prayer. What are you going to pray? Well, this means we need to be clear-minded so that we can think the kinds of ways that God thinks, so that we can pray for the sort of things that He would want us to pray for. You know, John tells us that this is the confidence we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And we know that if He hears us, we have the petitions we desire of Him. Clear-mindedness right off the bat would say, I want to know what God wants. I want to know what His will is so that I can pray with clarity and with self-control, which means you're not going to be praying a greedy prayer. Oh, gimme, 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 God. Gimme, 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 God. Gimme, God. Some people, that's the only time they ever get on their knees, when they got a gimme. Not a give you, which is the highest form of prayer when we're praying in behalf of other people. But, oh, God, I want this. I want this. I want this. And, God, this is a test for you. If you don't give me this right now, then I'll know that you probably aren't God after all. And we build these kind of crazy things for God, and it's all so self-centered. That does not come out of clear-mindedness. But we're to be clear-minded and self-control so that we can pray. Now prayer is the most wonderful privilege that God has given us. We can actually talk to Him, and He hears us, and He answers. Folks, this is wonderful. And because it is, it's the kind of thing we don't want to miss doing. Oh, but I can't come to that many prayer meetings. You don't have to. The beautiful thing about prayer is it's available. You know, you can pass all the Supreme Court stuff you want. You won't stop prayer in schools. As long as they have tests, there'll be prayer in schools. You don't have to worry about that. Some people think that prayer is something that it's done loudly and in King James English and with great eloquence, otherwise God doesn't hear. But that's not true. And some people think that you've got to get God's attention. That God really is sort of up there going, did I hear a noise? And that He's disinterested, and he must be convinced, oh God, please come and hear us. Oh, please, 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 please. Now, the thing is, He's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. So what if I were to just come to you and treat you that way? Let's say we're good friends, and anybody sits front row center is a good friend of mine as far as I'm concerned. And I would say to you, oh, please, I want to talk to you. Please listen to me. Okay, please, are you going to listen to me? Please, please. And he'd say, yes, come on, knock it off. No, come on, really, listen to me. You know, and he'd say, what's the matter with him? Anyway, the fact is, He is right here. And as you're walking along, He's right there. I don't feel Him, though. That doesn't make one bit of difference whether you feel Him or not. The fact is, He is there. And prayer, do you realize you don't even have to bow your heads to pray? Now, if I were to say, let us pray, you know there would be two things that would happen immediately. It's a tradition, folks. The Bible does not say, thou shalt close thine eyes and bow thine head. It doesn't say that. Now, I know why we do it. It's an act of respect. But the fact is, Paul also says, pray without ceasing. Now, it's hard to do that on the freeway. Boom, boom. Of course, it'll cause others to pray. But prayer is this wonderful conversation with God that can go on at any time, man. It's an attitude that you have. You're just in constant communication with Him. And if you're walking along and nobody's with you, no matter where you are, then you can pray. You can just be talking to Him. Oh, Lord, isn't this wonderful that I have these few moments with you? Do you get irritated when maybe the guy in front of you won't let you around and the traffic light's turning red and you're about to lose 60 whole seconds out of your life? What are you going to do with 60 seconds? Well, I can think about revenge. Or you could say, oh, Lord, this is wonderful. Oh, 60 seconds that I can talk to you here. This is great. And so out of this clear-mindedness, out of this self-control, we understand the times we're in, and it permits us to pray. Now, how can you know whether you've prayed enough?
Well, you can ask me.
And a lot of people will try to tell you, I'll decide for you whether you have prayed enough. But that won't do it. That won't do it. There are some people who, in order to kind of prove that they pray enough, they have what I call the time clock method. Chikling, I'm praying. Chikling, I'm through. And then you can carry that around. I'd like for you to know, I pray. My time card. Well, there is a way to know. There is a way to know. The next verse says, above all. Now, how much is all? It's quite a lot, isn't it? Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. My wife and I have been married, well, in a couple of weeks we'll mark 38 years. Well, thank you. It's one of the great miracles. Proves that she is a saint. I think the moment I die, they're going to issue sainthood to her. But, yes. But over the course of this time, we've done a lot of talking. We have talked so much that I can tell you what she's going to say. I know what her conversation patterns are. She knows what my conversation patterns are. Our minds have just so interwoven themselves that we can be in a conversation. The phone rings maybe, and it may be 2 or 3 hours later before the conversation takes up again. But it's like we're both at the same moment. And I'm thinking, you know, I was going to say, she says, me too. And I realize that this relationship with each other has made us so much like each other that we're saying the same things, acting the same ways, doing the same things. That's the key. I can tell how you've been talking with God by whether or not you've been with Him enough that you're beginning to think alike, talk alike, act alike. If someone comes to me and says,
I'm a great prayer warrior. That's what I do. I just pray about 55 hours a day.
But they are not loving. And I say, I don't know what you've been doing, but you don't seem to have been around God. Because if you were around Him that much, you'd be loving. If someone comes to me or I observe their lives and it is an overflow of love toward other people, they're just exhibiting the grace of God to others, I don't have to even ask whether they pray, because I know they have been in intimate communion with God. I visited a man once, the owner of a company. He was into a rather strange form of prayer. He had a little clock on his desk, and I'm interviewing him, and he had it set to go off about every 15 minutes. And we'd be talking, and he said, just a minute, it's time for me to pray. And he'd do about 30 seconds of prayer, you know, and he'd ding and reset the clock, and we'd continue our, it's just a second, it's time for me to be with God now. And then he finishes and he resets the clock and so forth. And I'm thinking, this is strange. It's almost like he believes that God wasn't around the other 15 minutes and that he wasn't hearing our conversation, and even the conversation couldn't have been a petition to him. But, oh man, I can prove I pray. Listen to my clock. Cling. Cling. But the fact is, folks, when we understand the time that we are living in, We become clear-minded and self-controlled so we can pray. And that prayer, that conversation with God does something wonderful in our lives. It causes us to become loving people. We treat people differently. All the proof you need that you've been with God. In fact, Jesus Himself said, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you. And then He said, by this shall all men know.
Now, I don't particularly like that because I hate for other people to have to make those decisions about me.
That you're my disciples, if you have love one to another. Amazing. So He chooses that as the proof that you have been in contact with Him. By this shall all men know you're my disciples. Amazing. So, it's a natural result of our having been with God. Because, He says, love covers a multitude of sins. This is incredible.
The way the world is, the way the press is, and so forth, our jobs exposes a multitude of sin.
Just put us on the trail of a possible scandal. Or even if it's not, we'll invent one because it's important for the 5 o'clock news. And so we're ferreting things out and everyone's, oh no, here come the cameras. What if we were to advertise here? What if we were to advertise?
Please come to this church and we'll expose your sin, brother, to the whole world.
I wouldn't be here. But you see, love does the opposite. Oh, come, because this is a safe atmosphere. Bring all the sins you have. We have a means of covering it so that it never need be exposed ever again because of Jesus. And when you love people, you're not trying to think, oh, one of these days we'll get his comeuppance. But oh, we pray, oh Lord, one of these days, give him his covering. Let him come to know you. This is the natural result of knowing the time we live in, being clear-minded, self-controlled, praying so that we become like the Lord, which means now we are a loving people, and we are delighted in covering sins. We're delighted in people coming to know the Lord. Our hearts explode when people come to know the Lord. I have heard you. When individuals, and maybe even some this morning might choose to do so, respond to the invitation to know and receive the Lord. And what do you guys do? You don't just sit there and go, oh, that was interesting. No, you explode. I've heard you. I've watched you now. Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, greatest thing ever. Oh, yes, yes. They don't even have to hold up applause signs. You know? Because it's wonderful seeing another set of sins being covered. Being covered. And then it says to give hospitality without grumbling. Now, hospitality is another form of expression of love. It's kind of the openness that says, now, my heart is open to the world to do all I can to make people comfortable. That's the art of hospitality, is the ability to make people comfortable. And it's to be given without grumbling. Oh, man. Okay, I'm supposed to be hospitable. Pastor Bob said to do it, and I don't want to go to hell. All right. No. Without grumbling. It means opening our lives. You see, until Jesus came, we had to keep our lives closed because there was a lot of stuff in there we didn't want people to know about, man. But when Jesus comes into our lives and we understand our times, we don't have to hide anymore, and our hearts and our lives open up to other people. And it has to anyway, because when you drink of Jesus, there's this explosion of living water that comes out, and it's kind of hard to hold that in. So you have to open your life in order to bless other people, and you just seek ways to make them comfortable. You even do it in places like this. Where you're coming in and, oh, here all of you are, you're crowded, I don't know where you parked, and you probably had to come in and elbow somebody. Get out of the way, man, I'm a member. No, you don't do that. But you want to do everything you can to make someone comfortable because, let's say you're new here, maybe this is your first time here, Maybe you're even new and you really don't know the Lord and you're wondering, what's going on here? Is this a cult or just what is this anyway? And I know how you feel. You're uncomfortable. And you wonder, are they going to make me do something strange? Are they going to embarrass me? Am I going to have to get up and jump down, twirl around and flap around on the floor, you know, or snort or what have you? What are they going to make me do? And it's real easy to feel uncomfortable. But because we love you, we're not going to take advantage of you. We want you to feel comfortable. That's hospitality. It's the result of our knowing what time it is and praying, being clear-minded. And because we talk to God a lot, we just become like Him. Can't help it. It just happens. And we love people as a result. And we want to issue hospitality. Now, I travel a lot, which means I go home a lot, which is nice. You know, my wife and I have decided that coming home is really nice, and so go ahead and travel, because you get to come home. And I know how my wife operates. She's already scheming right now about the day I get home. She's already got meals planned and so forth and little things, because she just loves me, that woman does. I love it. I love it. And I have some ideas because she's interested in my health. And so she tries to fix really nice, relatively fat-free meals for reasons that are obvious to you. And it's really wonderful. She goes, he does it so tastefully. It's just great. And she doesn't sit there and think, well, he's my husband. There, eat it. Don't want to hear anything out of you. Eat your food. I'm your wife. I'm supposed to do this. Eat. No, it is lovingly prepared because it's coming from that heart of love that says, I want to do everything I can to make you happy and comfortable. And so when you know the Lord, your heart just opens up and you view people differently and you're saying, I want to do everything I can to make you comfortable. All enjoy. Relax. So we give hospitality without grumbling. And then he says, each one. Oh, by the way, how many people are each one? Any each ones here? It's everybody. Each one should use whatever gift he has received. In other words, every one of us here who are in the body of Christ are gifted people. God has given you something specific to do in the body of Christ to bless others. But there is a way that these gifts are to be used. They are not to be used for, oh, look at me. I'm gifted. What do you think about my gifts? Let everybody come and look at my gifts. And tell me some more about how gifted I am. No. Each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others. Folks, you're just looking at the very nature of God right there. Jesus himself said, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. That's the nature of Jesus. Our part in the body of Christ is to serve other people. It's the way it works in your body. Every one of you have been issued a body. You know how a body works. Every single part of your body is a slave to the rest of your body. Not one part exists for itself. Not one. Even if you take part of your body out at night and lay it on a shelf. You don't put a banana there so it can eat during the night. Every part of your body is a servant to the rest of the body. That's the only reason you could be it. Without this, you couldn't make it here. If one part of your body decides it doesn't want to work, I sometimes wake up in the middle of the night. It's a weird feeling, folks. That maybe happened to you. Maybe I'll sleep funny. My arm gets caught in a way. I'll wake up and it just flopped. I can't feel it. It's just, you know, I'm thinking, oh no. And I begin to realize what happens when the parts of the body aren't serving. And if different parts say, I want to go my way, I want to do it this way. No, let's do it that way. I think I'll stay here today. The rest of you can go, you know. What if, think of this, this boggles the mind, folks. But what if you had to kind of get your body organized and convince it sometimes to get together the way we sometimes have to convince the body of Christ to get together? We'd be in trouble. But every gift, and you've been given gifts, is simply to serve others. And in doing that, you reveal the many-folded, many-faceted grace of God, all the various forms of the grace of God. I am convinced that I cannot fully know all the grace of God until I have been ministered to by you, until I see the grace of God in your life. I believe that God, this many-folded grace, these various forms, it's like He's issued grace to each of us in certain ways that I cannot know it until I see your fold, and then, I see more of the picture of God and all that He does. Quite often when I am going somewhere to speak, maybe someone meets me at the airport and they don't know who I am. Maybe it's a 2-hour drive and they were hunting somebody to go pick me up and they don't know me. And they say, well, you'll find him. He's short, fat, and bald and wears suspenders. And they do. They find me. And then we get in the car together and he doesn't know me and I don't know him. And he's uncomfortable because this is the speaker. And I'm a little uncomfortable because, you know, I'm afraid he's intimidated or what have you. And I don't know how good a driver he is either. But I have a little thing that I do if time permits. And it has never failed to send me in orbit. I'll say to him, we're going to be neighbors for a while here. Let's be friends. Say, tell me your story. And you know what they'll always say?
I don't have a story. I was just kind of born, grew up, and here I am.
I say, well, maybe, but tell me what you can.
Well, where do you want me to start?
I say, anywhere you want to. And they'll begin to tell me their story of how God put their lives together and the action of God in their lives. And in 30 minutes, I'm going, whoa! You're a book, man. You are a trophy of the grace of God. This is awesome. And this is true of every one of you who know the Lord. You are a trophy of the grace of God. And I cannot fully know just how great His grace is until I see it in you and see the fold that God has given you, the facet, the expression of His grace, one of the various forms as we administer faithfully His grace. Now that's different from administering His judgment. Some people think that's God's given me a facet of His judgment. And they think that's what they're for. My job is to condemn people. I've met people like that. I run from them usually. I don't say, oh, you know, they're having a real condemnation party over here. I think I'll go. No. But we are to minister His grace, letting people know God is on your side. It's the season of His favor. Now let me say, if you're here and you don't know that, now you do. God is on your side. You can relax. You don't have to resist him. He's not saying, all right, boy, where are you? I've been looking for you. You knew that I would find you at some point, and you're going to pay for this, boy. No. God is on your side. More than anything in the world, he wants to express his grace. The law came by Moses. Grace and truth by Jesus Christ. So we become administrators of his grace, passing out his favor to other people. Now, it's easy to do that once you know what time it is that we live in, which causes us to understand that we need to be clear-minded and self-controlled and pray. And this prayer causes us to be more and more like the Lord and to love people and be hospitable. It is only natural that we would then want to bless them and serve them and administer God's grace to them. In fact, he goes on and he says, if anyone speaks, he should do it as one speaking the very words of God or the oracles of God or the mouthpiece of God. This is awesome. Kind of scary, but it's awesome. Once I was speaking at a place called Azusa Pacific University. They had a series of conferences for youth workers, and they'd asked me to speak at each of them. At one of them, they got all of the speakers together for a luncheon meeting, had us around this large table, and then the moderator did something that, you know, I understand why they do this, but I'm always uncomfortable when they do it. He said, I want you to get to know each other, so I want everyone, in order to stand up and tell us your name and what you do. Now, my problem, see, is what do I do? I don't know what I do. I have fun. Do you get up and say, I have fun? And sure enough, this one happened just like I expected it to happen. The first guy gets up. Well, I'm so-and-so, and I'm in charge of the western half of the United States. And I thought, here we go. The next guy gets up. I'm in charge. My name is such. I'm in charge of the whole United States. Next guy gets up. I'm in charge of the world. And, of course, the next guy, I'm a member of the Universal Ministries. And it was getting to me, and I was sick by this point. So I got up, I looked around, I said, I'm Gail Irwin, and I lip sync for the voice of God. They all laughed. Ha ha, that's pretty good. You know, yeah, lip sync for the voice of God. And yeah, the place got a lot more honest then. We relaxed sort of, you know, and realized we were kind of putting on a duck. But I wasn't kidding. Folks, God has authorized us to speak his very words. This is amazing. Kind of makes you want to watch your words, doesn't it? You know? Wow, God, you mean I'm speaking for you? That's right. Well, I want to do that. This is understandable because when you understand the days that we're living in, boy, the gun of time is at our head. It causes us to become clear-minded and self-controlled so we can pray, which will make us more like God, which will cause us to be loving and hospitable, which will make us want to use the gifts God has given us to serve others. And speak his very words. It's like life is too short to do anything but share his words. And I want to speak in behalf of God. Man. And if serving, he should do it with the strength God provides. Now, folks, don't try to do it in strength God doesn't provide. You ever heard of burnout? That's what happens when we decide, okay, God, I'll do it my way. I'll show you. But when you do it in the strength he provides, you never burn out. And you always enjoy it. I love what I do. I'm crazy about what I do. This is why I haven't burned out yet. Don't expect to. I'm having too much fun. I have a bunch of surfer friends. They're a weird lot, they are. But I have never met a burnt out surfer. Never have. I've got some surfer friends who are grandfathers. But they're not burnt out, man. They can be on their deathbed and someone yells, "Surf's up!" And they say, "I'm coming, I'm coming." And what I have discovered is that when you are working in the strength that God provides and you are talking to Him, clear-minded, self-control, you understand the days that we are in, and it causes you to be like Him, and then you want to serve other people, man, and be hospitable to Him. God says, "Now, I like that. I'll energize that." And then you can serve others with the strength that He provides. You can speak the very words of God, and you realize this was all you from the beginning, wasn't it, God?
Yep, sure was. Thank you.
You mean I didn't have to feel, okay, I'm going to steal myself, I'm going to work this up, and so I can somehow or other serve you. No. We just talk to Him, and He does this wonderful thing. He makes us loving, and He gives us a way and enables us to serve others. And we do that ultimately so that in all things, how many things might that be? All, thank you. So that in all things, God may be praised through Jesus Christ. Now we find the reason for it all. To Him be the glory and the power forever and ever. How long might that be? Long time. So that in all things, God might be praised. Oh, when you understand the time, and it makes you clear-minded and self-control, and you pray, you realize that there are some things just not worth glorifying. There are some things not worth working toward. I have a friend who has the largest collection maybe of Dr. Pepper memorabilia in the world. All right. It's okay. I'm not putting that down. But I'm just saying that sometimes, you know, you begin to realize there are some things that may not be worth it. But there's always something worth it. That in all things, He may be glorified. He may be praised. Because to Him belongs the glory forever and ever. What did you have for breakfast this morning?
Orange juice.
Orange juice. Now, you had no idea you'd be asked this question here today. Why did you have orange juice for breakfast? Yeah, why? Why not? Well, that's not really the reason that you had orange juice this morning. You had orange juice for breakfast this morning for the glory of God. What kind of car do you drive? You have a truck. Why do you drive a truck?
The one that the Lord provided.
Well, okay, that's pretty good, but that's not really the reason you drive it. You drive that truck for the glory of God. Yes. Is that your wife seated next to you there? Okay. You won, by the way. Why did you marry her?
Because I loved her.
Because you loved her. It's not really the reason you married her. Now I tell you, yes. You married her for the glory of God. All things. How many things does that include? Do you have a job?
Yes.
Where do you work?
Rainbow.
Rainbow. What's Rainbow?
The cleaning system.
It's a something system?
Cleaning system.
Cleaning system. Why do you work there?
For the glory of God.
Yes. In a moment, you'll get up and you'll leave. You'll go home and you'll probably pig out. Why are you going to do that? For the glory of God. Yes. You'll get up tomorrow morning and head off for your job. Why? Exactly. Maybe you and your wife are going to go home this afternoon and continue an old discussion or start a new one. Why? You're getting weaker. So that in all things, he may be praised. We understand the time we're living in. We know. So it makes us clear-minded, self-control. So we can pray. Talking to God makes you love people because that's the way God is. Makes you hospitable. It causes you to want to use every gift and whatever gift God has given you to serve others because that's the way God is. And you've been talking to Him and you show His grace to other people by doing it. And then in everything you praise Him. Because there's nothing else worthy of praise than He. And if that praise does not well up from your heart this morning, oh, you're missing the biggest blessing in the world. It is not because somebody got manipulated that we came here and praised the Lord this morning. It is not because the worship leaders threatened us that we praise the Lord this morning. It is not because there's a door prize to those who praise the best. There's nothing tacked under your seat. Well, the one in seat number such and such, look under the seat. They get the prize. No, nothing of that. Nothing of that. But it's because we have discovered that the love of God reached even to us and the grace of God reached even to us. And we who were sinful discovered that our sins got covered and it made us explode in gratitude to God and in grace to others. And if you haven't experienced that, you can do it this morning. I'd hate for anybody to leave here not having their sins covered. This is our purpose, see. And if you're sitting there and you're still a little agitated because you know the truth about yourself and you've never asked the Lord to take over your life, forgive your sins and be Lord of your life. We offer you His covering, His forgiveness, right now. But He will not force it on you. That's His nature too. You have to receive it. But He knocks at your door. Do not walk out of here exposed. Please walk out covered. And when you do that, you will walk out of here for the glory of God. Yes. Oh, Father, thank You. That we can do things for Your glory. What a horrible thing to do it for my glory. I'm not worthy of any. What a delight to do it for You. It leaves our hearts at such rest and peace because we know You. Thank You that we can talk to You. That You hear us. Oh Lord, it's a wonderful thought that we could be in the very last days. What a delight to see You soon. And with John we say, even so, Lord Jesus, come quickly. In Jesus' name, amen.
To help you explore the lifestyle of Jesus in more detail, Servant Quarters offers a wide variety of books, audio messages, and videotapes. For a complete listing of these resources, please write Servant Quarters, Post Office Box 219, Cathedral City, California, 92235. Or you may call Servant Quarters toll-free at 888-321-0077. You may also visit our website at www.servant.org.